Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. We head on out now to Lexington, North Carolina. I want to welcome to the program Leah McGee. She is the mom of Christian McGee, who's a student at Central Davidson High School in Lexington. Welcome, Leah. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you for asking. I hope you are.
I am doing okay. So, all right, so your story, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but it's getting a little bit of publicity over the last 24 hours. I'm looking at a Carolina Journal article, but I've also seen now, I think the Libs of TikTok has now taken up the story, and I think I saw it also maybe on Fox News. But tell us a little bit about why your son and you are in the news for something that occurred at his high school.
Yes, sir. So on Tuesday of this week, Christian went into class. It was an English class that he's taken, and the teacher was passing out vocabulary words. One of the words was alien, to which Christian raised his hand and was called on by the teacher, and Christian said, like space or illegal aliens who need green cards. The class was dismissed for lunch. Actually, as soon as Christian said that, one of the students in the class took offense and responded by saying that he was going to beat Christian up. So the teacher called administration because there was a disturbance in class. Administration came down, spoke with both boys in the hallway, to which Christian said, you know, I did not mean this in an offensive way. And the other student said, he was just joking when he said that, you know, he was going to beat Christian up. So it was resolved in the hallway. The students were dismissed for lunch. And then after lunch, the assistant principal called the student, met with the student who took offense in class and, you know, made the comment towards Christian. And he asked, are you sure that you didn't feel this was a racial comment? So Christian was called to the office at 2:30 later that afternoon, and he was written up and given disciplinary action for a racially insensitive comment for saying that illegal aliens need green cards. Christian spoke with his father and I and said that he was not directing the question at any student. He was simply saying space or illegal aliens who need green cards. And he said, Mom, everyone needs a green card to come into our country. Our family actually lives in England. And he said they need a green card to come into this country. So he was very taken aback to why it was deemed racist. And my husband and I went to the school to meet with the assistant principal who wrote the suspension and tried to get him to understand that illegal alien is a term that Christian can look up on the dictionary. It is a term used in our federal code, and it is a term that is heard frequently on many news broadcasts in today's world. The principal would not accept any of our requests to remove the suspension and continued to give Christian 3 days out of school suspension, to which he was unallowed to attend track, and he has been pulled from the events of competing in track this week because that is school policy. If you are suspended, you cannot compete. I feel that, you know, if this was handled properly in the classroom, it could have easily been used as a teachable moment for everyone. And our family feels that suspension and a label of racism is extremely extreme in this case. I feel that the negligence of the administration's decision has fueled the injustice of suspension for a student who simply asked for clarification to a teacher's instruction. The administration said that they feel that it wasn't a question, it was a comment. But in order for Christian to raise his hand and be called on, we take that as a question. But comment, question, either way, illegal alien is an actual term. According to Davidson County School's handbook, a suspension under 10 days cannot be appealed, which is why we are hoping for some resolution through getting this story out, as we have tried to speak with administration 3 times with no resolution on their end.
How does that? How does this getting the story out work in towards that direction? Does what the school board get involved or something?
The school board cannot get involved if it's less than 10 days. They will not allow us to appeal, but we're hoping with the help of people like you, Restoration News, the Carolina Journal, and another outlet that's reached out to us, that maybe they can see that there are people who agree with us as parents, that this is an extreme, extreme decision made by them. Labels such as racism are very dangerous to Christian's character and reputation, and I feel that it has been wrongly placed on his record.
Right. Well,
that the sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to ask the kid who threatened to beat him up, who then later said, "Oh, he was just joking." Did Christian ever get like a second interview like that kid got, where he was able to recant and make the accusation that he was in fact offended again, which I guess precipitated the suspension?
No, so that other student was pulled out after lunch, which was about an hour after the incident occurred, which was around the morning, and Christian was not called into the office until 2 o'clock that afternoon. Right. We were notified at 2:30. So it started in the morning, and Christian was not called into the office until later that afternoon. Now, the assistant principal did speak with both children after the disturbance in class, to which they both responded, "No one took offense, you know, we were just joking around." The kid said he was joking around, and Christian, you know, reiterated that he was not pointing it towards any one person. He was simply just stating, for clarification, space alien, illegal alien, to need green cards.
What was the purpose of the vocabulary lesson that the word alien was given? Like, explain
I'm
to
me. I'm not sure.
Oh.
I haven't been told that, you know, when we spoke with the teacher and the principal online, and I feel like I need to say that the teacher and the principal have been very helpful in, you know, responding to us and kind of supporting us. The principal even said, "I understand that, you know, what you're doing and moving forward with the school board, but I'm not able to reverse this decision." But both the teacher and the main principal have been very, you know, they've returned our phone calls. They've been very helpful. The assistant principal, however, stuck to his guns and said that he is not willing to reverse the decision.
So
but I do not know why alien was part of the vocabulary word.
Yeah, I'm also curious as to why there's an assumption that when someone says illegal aliens, that this this assistant principal automatically thinks Hispanic.
That was our question as well. And that's what I think it's because the student that turned around and said, you know, I'm gonna beat you up for saying that, was a Hispanic student.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, Christian did not direct that towards him. He was speaking to the teacher, not to any student in the class, which the teacher told us he didn't direct it to anyone. He was asking me. He was making the comment to me when he raised his hand.
Right. Almost. So yeah, I mean, like in my mind, I'm hearing it as sort of like the spelling bee, where they give you the word and then you say, you know, can you use it in a sentence? And that's, it seems like it, because I don't know what the vocabulary lesson was either. I think that would be helpful to know, like, because if I have to write a sentence or write something with this word in it, I need to know the context in which it's allowed, in which you're giving it to me. That's what it seems
like
to me.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. And we don't know, you know, we haven't been told what the context was of that vocabulary word, yeah, or, you know, why she gave that word.
Last question is, I saw in the Carolina Journal that you're working with an attorney at this point. So what does, what's the purpose of bringing a lawyer into it for?
I was just concerned for our family and for Christian, because we, at this point, our family is not a hostile family. The reason for bringing in an attorney is just to make sure. We've had so many news outlets reach out to us because they obtained our email that we sent to the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Through a friend of ours who is John Dodd. He's the president of the Jesse Helms Foundation, and he shared the email to several media sources. And so we were blown away by the people who have reached out in support wanting to cover this story. And I told my husband, after we prayed about it, we said, we feel like we need an attorney to help us, you know, navigate this process, as we've never been in a situation like this. The label of racism in today's world is so strong that I feel like we do not need to tackle this giant on our own.
Yeah.
So we've done it out of excessive precaution.
All right. Well, Leah McGee, I appreciate you making some time for us today. Good luck in the in this process. And if you don't mind, we'd like to have you back on if we get some resolution one way or the other.
Thank you so much for being willing to broadcast the story. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for helping us bring awareness to this situation. We are very, very grateful.
Sure. Leah McGee, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thanks again to Leah McGee for taking some time to tell us about this issue that her son and her family are going through with regards to this Davidson County School assistant principal at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina, about his decision, apparently his sole decision, to suspend their son for asking in a vocabulary lesson in class. They were assigned, according to the Carolina Journal, the teacher assigned vocabulary words during class, including the word alien. It's not like there's another way you could, like, another way you use it is like, oh, that's foreign to me. It's an alien concept, right? It's one that I don't understand. I don't know because I've never heard it. It's, right, it's not native to my thinking or my household or my town or my state or my country, whatever. Like, there were all these there are different uses of this term, alienation, right? That's another way it can be used. Anyway, well, not really, but kind of. I mean, it's in the word alienation, unless it's Alien Nation, which was the TV show that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's a great TV show. At any rate, according to Leah McGee, her son responded by saying, like, space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? End quote. Like, that's the question that got him suspended. And at first, it seemed like everybody was okay to just move on, that he didn't mean it in any other way. It was a term that he had heard in the news, and it is a legal term, by the way. It is not a racial term. I think the assistant principal might be a racist, because when he hears the term illegal alien, he thinks Hispanic, I guess. Even though I'm not even sure that they represent, Hispanics don't even represent the majority of illegal aliens any longer. Plus, the word now is migrant, by the way. So, anyway, the kid is asking a legitimate question. Now, whether he was asking it in some sort of a playful tone, whether he was trolling the teacher, making a joke, doing it for the laughs, you know, class clown cut up. Look, this is something I probably would have joked about. Ha ha ha, fun with words, double meaning. It means this and this other thing. I don't really know what it means. You know, I could see that. Okay. But does that warrant a 3-day suspension? Because the staff says, this assistant principal says, it's, quote, offensive and disrespectful to classmates, or that this is disruptive. Look, if him saying that is so disruptive that he gets suspended, then the kid who threatens to kick his ass, that kid gets suspended too, because that's even more disruptive. That's a threat of physical violence. If you're going to allow the threat of physical violence to stand, then you can't suspend the kid for this. I'm sorry. Again, this kind of crap will continue until people start saying no. That assistant principal needs to be told no. And honestly, if I'm in charge, you're fired. Go find another job at some woke progressive school. They'll be glad to have you, and you can suspend every white kid you want to for saying anything that transgresses your woke sensibilities.
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com, or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies, as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Here, this is Dennis. He says, thanks for shining a light on that story with Leah McGee and her son Christian. Amazing finding out who's teaching the kids and what they're trying to teach. As far as the traffic stopping protesters, I would like to see a citizen's arrest law. Oh, that reminds me of an Andy Griffin episode. No. Established just like on the old Andy Griffin. No, it's Griffin. Andy Griffin show. It's the episode with Barney and Gomer. If it became legal for citizens to arrest traffic stoppers, I think the problem could be put to bed pretty quickly. It's not even a matter of making citizens arrest, because it's at some point, if the cops don't arrest these people, if the police, as we saw on the Golden Gate Bridge, where the police just stood around for the, like, what seemed like 2 hours or something, and not moving to disperse them, and they weren't even doing the thing where they stuff their hands in the pipe so that they got to drag everybody all at once. They were doing that in other locations, but in Florida, the cops would just grab one of them and drag everybody else. And then, of course, like, oh, you dislocated my arm. I saw one video where some idiot had stuck his hand into like a big metal oil drum kind of thing, or cone or something. And there was concrete in it. He stuck like a he had a PVC tube. They stuck in the bottom of this thing. He put his arm in the tube, and then there was a piece of rebar that went through the PVC pipe into the concrete inside the tube, through the tube, and then inside the concrete that's at the bottom of this oil drum. They cut open the oil drum. They cut open the PVC tube, and now you can see the piece of rebar that's poking through the top of the PVC, and the guy's got his hand clutched around the piece of rebar. And so they try to pry his fingers off, and he's just like, stop trying to, like, I'm not kidding, he's literally screaming like a child. Stop trying to take my hands off. Stop prying my fingers. Stop prying my fingers. And finally, somebody just reaches over, grabs a hold of the rebar post, and just slides it out. And then the guy keeps on screaming that they're hurting him and they're trying to rip his arms off and stuff. And it's like, dude, you're a liar. Like, we can see. This is what I mean. Commies lie, people. They lie. Okay.
What is this, a wiki for Andy Griffin?
I know all the Andy Griffin episodes. John Moore, he knows all of the Andy Griffin episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Spires and Krantz fellas, they were huge fans. That they gave me my appreciation for all things Andy Griffin over the years. Stan says, you bursted my bubble when you said they were going to tear down, or they were just going to tear it all down, and the promised utopia is not coming. I can't believe I voted for Build Back Better, and it was all a lie. What do I say? I just said it. Commies lie. Seth says, I like the name that the that Greg Gutfeld from Fox News gave to these morons that are blocking traffic and such. Hamishoals. Hamas. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a little too close. It's not Philadelphia, Pete. It's Filthy-delphia. Oh, sorry. I did not know that, but that's a good one. Filthy-delphia. Am I still looking to turn my show footage into viral reels? That might be spam. I'm not sure. So public education is one of America's hottest political flashpoints, right? But counterintuitively, making it more political will help lower the temperature. What? That seems so counterintuitive. Aha. Eric Bledsoe at National Review. He says public schools have declined in large part because teachers' unions have taken advantage of the unique election system that's used for most of the country's school boards. Those races should be aligned with the elections that Americans know best, that would increase voter knowledge, that would increase voter turnout, and it would increase the likelihood that winners reflect local families' priorities. So what are the problems with the way school boards are elected? And by the way, Charlotte Mecklenburg, pretty good example of this as well. I'm not sure if I'm trying to remember. They do this. I think the CMS board does staggered elections, right? I am not a fan of staggered elections for one body, especially one that's only as large as, you know, 9 members, like the county commission or school board. I'm not a fan. Because it helps to insulate incumbents. So first off, in there are two different components to, dare I say, a rigged election system. The first is that you hold your elections in off-cycle years, in non-presidential or non-even-numbered years, right? Odd-numbered years. You do it when there isn't anything else on the ballot. You got even... like our municipal races have changed over to the even year races, right? So by doing that, by putting them in the odd number years outside of major statewide or federal elections, you end up with a system that is deliberately designed, as determined by the University of California, Berkeley's Sarah Anzia in research. These systems are deliberately designed by early progressives to depress voter turnout. Suppression, right? The very thing that these progressives are now screaming bloody murder about, suppression this, suppression that, our democracy, and all that, right? The staggered year, or sorry, the off-cycle elections, they developed this concept, and they did it precisely to suppress conservative or status quo or traditionalist votes. Since people are less likely to be aware of elections that don't involve national candidates, the status quo favors the most organized groups, which almost always means now teachers' unions. They can now dominate school board elections because far fewer voters participate overall. Got a message here. Hang on a second. Oh, DL has written me back. Griffith, not Griffin. Is this about... oh, this is about the Andy Griffin show, right? Yeah. You know, it reminded me of that episode. I think it was Opie and Aunt B, and they were, remember they went up over the Mayberry Bridge. They were blocking the bridge to protest the colonizing Zionist genocide. as a classic. And then Cletus Hogg comes along and tosses him over the side into the river. I mean, that was hilarious. Aunt B floating down the rivers. It's a great episode. Yeah, yeah. Let me see here. Thank you, DL. I appreciate the email. Jay says, oh, this is interesting. The Auburn, Alabama, the town of Auburn, Alabama holds their local elections in the summer, so most students don't vote. That makes sense to me. All right, so one of the ways that progressives rigged the vote for the teachers' unions to have outsized influence is to have the elections for school boards in the off-cycle years. The second issue, most school board elections are nonpartisan. Only 9 states require school board candidates to declare their party affiliation or even give them the option, depending on the district. This allows teachers' unions to run candidates who may otherwise lose if their party affiliation were more obvious. In North Carolina, for example, 14 counties voted for Republican candidates in federal, Senate, and House races in 2022, but also elected registered Democrats to the school board. So is that intentional ticket splitting? Democrats are far more likely to support teachers' union demands once they are in office, which voters could better predict if party affiliation were known. Even if they run in nonpartisan races, candidates don't ignore their own politics once elected. Both of these problems have directly contributed to public education's decline. Teachers' unions are notorious for supporting lower standards for students, higher pay and benefits for staff, and looser policies on moral and gender-related issues. This is a piece, again, by Eric Bledsoe at National Review, who concludes, put school board elections on the same day as general elections for state and federal office. Mandate party affiliation on the ballot. Now, he says, look, these measures are going to encourage more voters to participate in school board elections. In other words, defending our democracy, right? Don't you want more people to participate? It's also going to give voters more information so they can make a better informed decision. Because this may come as a shock, but a lot of times people go into the polling place and they don't actually know all of the candidates. And they may vote for a candidate based on something as silly as their name or where the name appears on the ballot. Could be the first place or the second place, whatever. The last doesn't matter. You never know. People just Christmas tree that thing. They'll just fill in whatever bubble. They'll pull whatever lever because they don't have any information on the candidates. Simply giving them an R or a D next to their name, or an L for Libertarian or a G for Green Party. I'm just kidding. They never run for school board. But the point here is that you have some heuristic. You've got some piece of information. That doesn't mean they're going to toe the party line on all things. They may be a rhino. They could be a flaming leftist, whatever, not a blue dog Democrat kind of thing. But you don't know for sure, but you've got one piece of information, and it is a piece of information that you otherwise would not have. It's the same argument for the judge races being identified by political party as well in North Carolina. Either way, the outcome is going to inspire greater confidence because it's going to more closely reflect the will of the people, especially the parents. And yes, some people in districts are going to end up with all Democrats, but in other districts, you're going to end up with all Republicans and whatever, or sometimes you're going to have a mix. But that's the whole point. It's going to reflect the will of the people. And that, to me, sounds like, I don't know, a little bit closer to the democracy than hiding people's true politics and beliefs and allegiances until they get into office and then they start voting to undermine the system. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.